wasn't until just about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes before service last week that I learned about the mass shootings that had happened last week. And so I had not had time to wrap my head around it and had not had time to process it, so I didn't talk about it. But today I'm going to talk about it. And so I know that I am not alone in this room feeling brokenhearted and feeling so sad for everyone who is experiencing loss and everyone who is experiencing sadness, including ourselves about it. And I would imagine I'm also not the only one in the room who is frustrated that something or anything has not been done or is not being done to curb the gun violence that is going on in this country. I know that all of us in this room want to live in a country and in a world that is peaceful. I know that we all want to live in a country and a world where everyone gets along and everyone works together toward the common good for everyone. I know that we want to live in a world where oneness is expressed and experienced and where equality is the norm. That's even so important to us that is part of our guiding vision of Centers for Spiritual Living. And a very small part of that guiding vision called the Global Heart Vision says this: we envision the emergence of the global heart to balance and guide further evolution of humanity. We envision Centers for Spiritual Living as united and actuated by this compelling vision of a healthy world, a world experience of global heart, and is ardently committed to bringing this vision forth through its ministries and its transformative teachings. We see Centers for Spiritual Living as a global community of inspired individuals caring for and about each other and the entire planetary family, thereby bringing the gift of active compassion and kindness to the world. Our local ministries and communities become, quote, points of inspiration and influence, effectively advancing the vision of the global heart. That is so important to me, and my guess is that that is so important to you in this room also. And I know that when things happen like what happened last week, it's really easy to point our fingers. And it's really easy to say they are the problems and they must change and to feel like it's us versus them, whoever the them is in your mind. It is the fault of the white supremacists, or it's the fault of the gun lobbyists, or it's the fault of the opposite of that, the people that don't think everybody should just carry a gun to protect themselves. Or it's the fault of the Republicans, or the Democrats, or the Senate leader, or the president, or the parents of the children. It's really easy to point our fingers and to blame someone. But you know what? It's not that simple. The truth is, it's not one person that's responsible for it. It's not one thing that is responsible for it. The truth is, what is happening in this country is a result of the collective consciousness of all of us. And the truth is also, there is no them. There is only us. There is only us, all of us. While you may not carry a semi-automatic weapon and you may not shoot people, you and I are still part of the collective consciousness of this country and of this world, of this planet. In the teachings of the Science of Mind and Spirit, we teach that law manifests the mental equivalent that we hold in mind. That all conditions are the result of mental and emotional causes in this world. And so the title of my talk today is What Lies Beneath. And I'm talking about what lies beneath what is going on in this country right now. I'm talking about the consciousness, the beliefs, and the attitudes and the feelings that we hold that are manifesting themselves as the stuff that's going on right now. Because you know what? What's happening isn't new. It's not new. Violence and fear of the other, seeing someone as other, feeling like it's us versus them, is not new. Racism is not new in this country. I don't know if you know this. I didn't learn this until college. We have always been a racist country. We didn't like the Italians, and we didn't want them here. We didn't want the Irish. We didn't want them here. We didn't want the Chinese here. We didn't want the natives to their own land to be here. We've always been a racist country. We are called to heal the places within us where we hold racism. Heal the places within us where we feel fear, where we feel like we are not safe, where we feel like we are not whole, where we feel like we are not part of the whole. And it's after we heal that stuff inside of ourselves that then it's easy to go out into the world and to be the light and to help heal what's going on in this world. But we have to begin with ourselves, because until we heal what's inside of ourselves, we don't have the ability to help heal what's going on out there. We don't have the insight. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the compassion to really heal what's underneath what's going on, because that's what needs to be healed. It's what's underneath what's going on. And so we saw a movie a long time ago at our movie night, and it was a movie about Arjuna Arda, and he wrote this book, Leap Before You Look. And it's filled with exercises. One of the exercises is called Just Like Me. And it says, whenever a judgment or evaluation arises within you, whether positive or negative, add the three words, just like me. You can go ahead and judge another as lazy, but be inclusive with it. He is lazy, just like me. She is arrogant, just like me. They are incompetent. She is unreliable. He is angry, just like me. Call back the positive judgments in the same way. The Dalai Lama is so wise, just like me. She is so compassionate. He is so strong, just like me. In this way, call back every judgment to yourself and realize there is no other out there. It's all you. And so can you think of a person right now who irritates you? The person who you are holding the most judgment about? Think of that person for a second. What is it within that person that you are holding in judgment? Or what is it about that person that irritates you so much? Do you got it? So hold that in your mind. And after me, say, just like me. Just like me. Can you see where that lives inside of you? Can you see it? You know, it may not be the same degree. It may not outpicture in the exact same way, but that lives inside of us. And that's what we're called to heal. We're called to heal the part of us that thinks we are separate and apart and above and different than, because it's only when we heal that stuff that then we come to the world with love and compassion and understanding and insight and the ability to help heal the stuff that needs to heal, because then we get it. We're called to heal our sense of separation and that sense of other. Then we help heal the world. And I'm not saying that you are at fault and that you are to blame for what's going on in this country. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it's our responsibility to heal the stuff that needs healing inside of ourselves. I read a quote this week that I absolutely love. It's by Swami Beyondananda. He says, I believe we were created to evolve. Otherwise, Jesus would have said, now don't do a thing until I get back. Isn't that good? And Ernest Holmes says the same thing in different words. God can only do for us what God can do through us. God can only be the presence of love and peace and kindness and compassion and wholeness and oneness when we eliminate the stuff that's unlike it, when we heal that stuff inside of us. And so I am part of a Centers for Spiritual Living Ministers email group, and it's conversations with all the different ministers. And of course, this week there's been lots of conversation about the shootings and about gun violence and what is ours to do in that. And so I'm going to share with you a letter from Reverend Barbara Ledger. She says, "This is the dialogue I want to be having about decency and the role of hatred and bigotry in politics and in our country. The president didn't create it. He consciously took the lid off of it in pursuit of his own version of the truth and what he is here to do. We must do the same. Take the lid off fearing retribution or breaking the science of mind law of not engaging in the condition. We must know and stand for what we individually know as our truth and to stand together for decency and humanity that works for all. For this, I must see my part in being judgmental, fearful, separatist, or racist in any way, for arrogance and self-importance, and for practicing blind allegiance and protectionism where what is called on is truth and standing for it as an interfaith movement and stepping up to it. I can and must be ruthlessly honest with myself and clean up my part in my own life and practice using all the tools we know and have developed. When my 11-year-old granddaughter said yesterday, 'I just want everyone to stop all this political stuff, the hatred and the violence and the fears and the stuff that has people murdering innocent people. What is wrong with everyone and how can it stop?' I said, 'We must each stop all the ways we use words of hatred, violence, and must remove aggression from our heart and mind and choose peace first with ourselves and become the kind of people that not only practice those things ourselves, but the kind of people that show another way to be. You know, the golden rule way.' And then we spent the next 15 minutes pulling out some of the ways that we want to be and saying we would find the way to start being what the solution looks like to us. 39 years ago, when my son was 11, my son came to me in a shaking voice and asked if he would live long enough to go to college. In that instant, I realized if I was not actively part of the solution, I was part of the problem. And it propelled me into peace work and international programs and work that has led me here. And synchronicity has it that when Grace asked what Andrew asked, both at age 11, I am reinforced in my knowing that it is time for a big step. In prayer, I surrender to this call. I give thanks. I give thanks for the invitation again. We are the new Light Brigade. We are the new Light Brigade, and we are being called to be the light, to be the love, to be the presence of oneness and wholeness and kindness and love. We're being called to do that. And so I have a question for you. Really, to look inside of yourself, where are you being judgmental? Where in you does that judgment live? Where are you being fearful? Where does fear live inside of you? Where are you being a separatist? Or where are you being a racist in any way? Where do you feel self-important, like you are more important than other people? You know, that's what people cutting you off and pulling out of driveways in front of you. It's self-importance. Where do I feel like I am more important, or what I am doing is more important, or I am better than or more valuable than someone else? Is there somewhere where you are practicing blind allegiance instead of standing for your spiritual principles? instead of standing for the truth that we are all one in God. You're called to heal those things inside of you so you can go out there and be the clear, bright light of God. So there's nothing hindering that light from shining out of you. That is how we become part of the solution, and that is how we give birth to this world that we want to live in. And so there's a story that's called The Heaviest Snowflake. Tell me the weight of a snowflake, a cola mouse asked a wild dove. Nothing more than nothing was the answer. In that case, I must tell you a marvelous story, the cole mouse said. I sat on the branch of a fir, close to its trunk when it began to snow. Not heavily, not in a raging blizzard, no, just like a dream, without a sound and without any violence. Since I did not have anything better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and needles of my branch. Their number was exactly 3,741,952. When the 3,741,953rd dropped onto the branch, nothing more than nothing, as you say, the branch broke off. Having said that, the coal mouse flew away. The dove, since Noah's time and an authority on the matter, thought about the story for a while and finally said to herself, perhaps there is only one person's voice lacking for peace to come into this world. Perhaps there's only one person's consciousness that needs to shift just a little bit for more light to come into the world. For all of the light to come into the world. You heal those things within you by recognizing the truth, by realizing who you are and what you are, an incarnation of that divine spirit, the presence of wholeness and light and love and power and beauty and magnificence. You heal that through the recognition and the realization that you are safe all the time. That you are filled with a power that is limitless. You do that through the realization that life is for you all of the time, and that you are supported by the allness that God is. You do that out of the realization that we are one. One with each other, one with that infinite presence. And you do that by acquiring a realization that is so deep that you can stand in that even when things get rough, even when the ground gets shaky. Ernest Holmes says, what we have within us is greater than what is around us. And it is always guiding us and always providing for us. What you have within you is greater than what is around you. And that is calling and beckoning for you to bring it forward. So you remember that. You know, there is no power in the past. There is no power in yesterday or a moment ago. There's only power in this now moment. So what are you going to do in this now moment to move us forward? What are you going to do in this now moment to create the world that we want to live in and that we want to see? What will you do in this moment? What will you do to help build a world of peace and of safety and of well-being and of equality and of oneness? So my invitation to you this week, which is really not an invitation, it's a mandate, is to look at where you are holding judgment, to look at where you are holding fear and separateness and racism and self-importance, where does that live in you? And I've created a list with those qualities on the backside of your white sheet so you can take it home and you can do some work around that. And you can do some affirmative prayer around that. Letting it go and dissolving it and releasing it. And instead embodying the truth of the light and the love and the wholeness and the peace of that one that is your own divine essence. Heal what needs to be healed. And tell yourself the truth. What I have within me is greater than what is going on around me. Use what's happening in the world as a way to heal the places within you that still need healing. And let your voice be heard in the world. And stand up for your principles. And stand up for the truth of oneness and of love. Then we will be creating this world that works for everyone, the world that we want to live in. And so I thank every single one of you for the inner work that you are doing. I thank every single one of you for bringing the light into the world. I thank every single one of you for your willingness to grow and to change and to let go of what doesn't serve us and to embody what does, the fullness of your own divine self. And so thank you and blessings to every single one of you on your path. I told Colleen yesterday that I was afraid you might all throw tomatoes at me when I did this talk. It's not the normal inspirational lifting. It's a little bit more like we have work to do, you know? And so I invite you right now to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how grateful I am to recognize that omnipresence of spirit. How grateful I am to recognize that it is the only power. It is the only presence. It is the only one that is the cause and source of this entire universe. And that it is right here within us. That it is around us, that it is filling our lives, and it is filling our homes, it is filling our political systems, it is filling every single senator and congressperson and every single policymaker, every politician, that presence is also right where they are, that it is also living inside of them, and that right now, today, that presence of absolute intelligence, of absolute wisdom, of love and oneness and unity is having its way within each and every single heart and mind. For it is the ultimate reality. And this ultimate reality, this presence of love and wisdom and peace will have its way in the end. For it is the only power that exists. And so today we step in and we step up with open hearts and open minds, open hands, willingly giving way to this presence that is the very own essence of our being. So today we say yes to that call of our own spirits to be the presence of light, to be the love, to be inclusive, to live from a place of oneness. How grateful I am to be giving way to that. And so I see that happening everywhere. And irregardless of when things happen that look not like that, I put my attention back on the truth and call it forward, creating an avenue and a way for it to come into this world. Love and peace and light and good. And so I'm so grateful to be a part of this. So grateful to live in the awareness of this one. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I say, thank you, God. Thank you, life. And if you are in agreement with me, I invite you to say with me, and so it is.